Well, a small town had a barber, and this barber was known for being very arrogant, very critical, and very negative. And when one of his customers mentioned that he was going to Rome on vacation, and that he hoped to meet the Pope, the bartender's reaction was typical. "You," he said, "meet the Pope? Don't make me laugh. The Pope sees kings and presidents. What would he want with you?" Well, a month later, the man returned for another haircut. "How was Rome?" asked the barber. "Great, I got to see the Pope." "On his balcony from St. Peter's Square with the rest of the crowds, I'm sure." "Yes, but then two of his Swiss guards came up and said the Pope wanted to meet me and took me right into his private apartment in the Vatican." "Really?" the barber asked. "What did he say?" "He said, 'Who gave you that lousy haircut?'" Well, some people, like the barber, need a change of heart, a conversion of heart. And really, that's what today's gospel is all about, is how to convert others. It's how to bring about a change in other people's life. So today's gospel, in fact, all the readings are about love of neighbor and how to evangelize and how to convert sinners, how to admonish the sinner, how to correct them. It's about fraternal charity. In fact, it's one of the spiritual works of mercy, is helping to convert the sinner, helping to lead people to get back on the right track. So when we take a look at today's gospel, well, in fact, first take a look at Ezekiel, a very powerful statement that if you see somebody on the wrong track and don't say anything, then you're going to be held partly responsible for that. It says, if you fail to warn the wicked of their way, then you'll be held partly accountable for them going off the right path or not coming back on the right path. It says, however, if you warn the wicked at trying to turn him from his way and he refuses, it says, well, he shall die for his guilt, but you yourself will be saved. So again, it's a very powerful image from Ezekiel, the importance of fraternal charity, love of others, fraternal correction, that if you see somebody heading down the wrong path, we need to reach out in love to bring them back. That is true love. And if we don't, Scripture is very powerful in saying that we ourselves will be held accountable for that. In the letter to the Romans, again, it's all about love of neighbor. It says, love one another. And it tells us how to do that. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. That's how we love others, is by living out those commandments. And then it's summed up by saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then we come to the gospel. Again, all the themes of today's reading are about love of neighbor and fraternal charity and fraternal correction. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So fraternal charity should be done individually and privately first. And hopefully, through kindness and through gentleness and through humility, you can win your brother or sister back to the Lord. So oftentimes evangelization is one-on-one, just talking heart-to-heart with another person. And usually the key to converting people, like Bishop Sheen said, there were three ways to convert people. You might want to write this down. The first one, he said, was kindness. The second was kindness. The third was kindness. Right? That's how you convert people's hearts, is through kindness, through charity, and through love. And you might remember the great Aesop's fable about the sun and the wind. It's one of my favorite stories. There was a man walking down the street and he was wearing a coat, and the wind and the sun made a bet who could get the man to remove his coat first. So the wind said, I'll go first. And so the wind picked up its force and began to blow stronger and stronger to try to rip the coat off this man's back. And what happened? The man gripped even tighter and would not let go. Well, then the wind had his chance, and now the sun said, "It's my turn." And the sun came out from behind the clouds, and he smiled gently upon the old man. And the man began to get very hot. He began to sweat. He began to wipe his brow, and he took his coat off. So in other words, kindness and gentleness work so much better than force and strength. So it says again, if our brother sins against us, we go talk to that person individually, and that way the fault is kept private. It saves face and allows a person to have a conversion, and it keeps it between the two of you and the Lord. But then it says, if he doesn't do this, then take one or two others with you and then go and talk to that person again. And this is what, I guess, in modern days we would call an intervention, right? Sometimes you hear this where somebody's struggling with alcohol and the family is very distraught. And so they bring in one or two friends that sit down with the individual and let them know how much their family loves them, but how much this alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be is hurting them and hurting the family. That's called an intervention. That's where you get the help of a couple other people. And then it says, lastly, if that doesn't work, it says that take the matter to the church, and then the church can get involved. And so that's would be the last way. And so sometimes the church has had to do this, especially with public figures. The church sometimes even gives what's called an excommunication. Again, it's done very rarely, but over the centuries, over the last 2,000 years, the church sometimes does, you know, do excommunication on somebody. But it's for the purpose, again, of fraternal correction. It's to get them converted. It's a wake-up call. A excommunication statement upon a person is to bring about their repentance. That's what it's about. Again, it's done very rarely by the church, but it's done as an act of love. Holy Mother Church sees one of its sons or daughters straying, especially publicly, being a bad example or scandal to the faithful. And so it then gives this statement of excommunication to give them a wake-up call, to notice if they continue down their path, they're putting their soul in danger, and that they need to be converted, they need to repent and come back to the good graces of Christ and Holy Mother Church. So it's medicinal. It's there to help save souls. So notice really that our gospel today is truly about love of neighbor. And if we love someone, we want the very best for them. We want them to get to heaven. The definition of love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. That is true love, desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. And that if you truly love somebody, you want them to get to heaven, you want them to be converted and to be happy with God forever in heaven. But if they have an obstacle to that, maybe some sort of a sin, whether it be their involvement in alcohol or drugs or living with their boyfriend or girlfriend or being married outside the church or whatever it may be, we love that person, but we try to convert them and have them get rid of their sin so they can come back and get on the right path to heaven. And so true love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of that person. So it's always been summarized, love the sinner, but hate the sin. Sin is like cancer. You don't want somebody to be living in sin. You don't want somebody to have spiritual cancer in their life. So we try through fraternal charity, fraternal correction, to get rid of that sin. We do that as priests and confession, or parents do that for your children to try to lead them on the right track. But you still love them. And so you love the person, but we can never approve or condone or accept the sin, because sin is a spiritual cancer. So again, it could be summarized, love the person, love the sinner, but hate the sin. Help them to get rid of that obstacle that is depriving them of true happiness. And if we love somebody, we truly want them to get to heaven and to be with God for all eternity.